the Fan, Ohio Sports Destination.
This is Tee to Green, Central Ohio's premier golf show. Now here's your host, recipient of the Lifetime Achievement Award by the Southern Ohio PGA of America and Hall of Fame, the Fan's own Skip Mossick.
And hi again, everybody. Good morning. Welcome into another edition of Tee to Green here on The Fan. Another very busy week in the golf world as the PGA Tour playoffs continue. We'll head to Maryland and check in at the BMW Championship with SI.com's Bob Herrig. The Ohio State Scarlet Course will host the annual Nationwide Children's Championship next month. Playoff events on the Corn Ferry Tour. Former Buckeye Neil Shipley, who officially secured his PGA Tour card for the 2020 season earlier this week, is expected to play. We will hear from Shipley later this hour. And as always, we have another great golf prize package to give away. Details on that shortly. But as mentioned, the BMW Championship is this week outside of Baltimore and benefits the Evans Caddy Scholarship. Joe Murray is the state chair for Ohio of the Western Golf Association and Evans Scholars Foundation. He joins us now. And Joe, I know this is such a huge week for what you all do. Tell us about the Evans Caddy Scholarship, something that's, you know, been around for a long time that some folks may still be unaware of.
Yes, Skip, first of all, thanks for having me. I'm thrilled to participate and thrilled to speak about the Evans Scholarship. The Evans Scholarship has been around for a long time. It's been around for nearly 100 years, and still it is too much of a secret. We want as many folks to learn about this as is possible, because you know, I can confidently say that I think it's the premier scholarship that's available for young people to get an education in the United States. It's a four-year, full tuition, full housing scholarship that students are eligible to take to one of 29 universities. The three universities in Ohio are Ohio State, Miami, and John Carroll. The amazing thing is, as you said, it is a bit of a secret because, you know, last year we had only about 85 applicants for the scholarship, and there were 27 or 28 young men and women who were awarded the scholarship. So it's a terrific scholarship that we just want more people to learn about. The two keys to the scholarship, Skip, are that you have to caddy. You have to caddy for at least 2 years.
Okay.
And you have to have demonstrable financial need. But the young men and women that, you know, work in the caddy yards across Ohio and frankly across the United States, you know, they just learn a ton. And if they can get on the Evans scholarship pathway, it really is a life-changing pathway for them.
Joe, I know scholarships are awarded in a number of different cities each year. How many generally are awarded to kids here in Columbus and Central Ohio?
Well, I have to brag a little bit because I'm a member at SIOTA, and last year we had five young men and women who were awarded the scholarship. You know, that's the most that SIOTA has ever had. Last year, I think there were approximately 27 kids statewide who were awarded the scholarship, but we have about 60 to 65 Evans Scholars at Miami, approximately the same number here at Ohio State, and next year will be our first year in partnership with John Carroll. That program will start a little bit smaller, but interestingly, Skip, you know, Ohio is a what I call a net importer of kids, because we need to do a better job of doing what you're doing here today, and that's helping put the word out about this scholarship, because some of those beds at Ohio State and Miami are actually filled by young men and women from other states. And, of course, they're terrific kids and qualifying kids, but we'd love to see more Ohio kids learn about the opportunities that exist in the caddy yards across Ohio, and then, of course, the Evans Scholarship Pathway.
Joe, you mentioned the number of caddies there at SIOTA that received scholarships this past year. Is that number growing? I mean, I remember back when I caddied at Columbus Country Club some 45, 50 years ago, that number was much smaller. Is it bigger now?
Yeah, it's definitely growing. There's been a resurgence in golf, but I also think as more people learn about the scholarship and the values of the scholarship, we're really attracting interest from a lot of clubs to encourage golfers to walk and encourage them to take a caddy. You know, taking a caddy is a great way to play the game, but it's also a great way to help elevate a young person. And so there definitely is growth not just here in Central Ohio, but also in Cincinnati and Dayton and Toledo and Cleveland in terms of attracting young people to the caddy opportunity.
We're chatting with Joe Murray this morning. Tita Green here on the fan, Joe State Chair for Ohio of the Western Golf Association and Evans Scholars Foundation. And Joe, there are other clubs around town besides Scioto that offer caddy services to their members. What's the best way to inquire as far as parents listening if they have high school kids? Simply call the golf shop? What's the best way to inquire about becoming a caddy?
Yeah, great question. I think that the four clubs in Columbus with the strongest caddy programs currently are Scioto Country Club, Brookside Country Club, Muirfield Village, and the Golf Club. All of those clubs have strong caddy programs, and frankly, each of them is growing the youth element in their caddy programs. So I think the best way for anybody to get involved is to reach out. You can just call the general number at any one of those clubs, ask to speak to somebody in the pro shop. Each of those clubs has a designated caddy manager, and that's the person that, you know, parents and young people need to be speaking with about this opportunity.
Well, Joe, you guys can't do what you do and offer all of these scholarships without finances. The Western Golf Association is involved with many championships, with the biggest being this week's BMW, part of the PGA Tour's playoffs. How much money is raised from this championship alone?
Yeah, this is a signature event for the Western Golf Association, which administers the Evans Scholarship Program. I don't know the exact number, Skip, but this is a primary fundraiser for the scholarship. It is literally drives millions of dollars towards this charity. And we also have lots of other programs for fundraising. One of the greatest ways that folks can participate is through what's called the Par Club program. And you can enter that program whether you're a member of a private club or not, by simply making a $250 a year donation to the Evans Scholarship Program. That program goes a long way towards raising the necessary funds to send these young people to college. Skip, currently, the Evans Scholarship sends nearly 1,200 kids to college on a full tuition, full housing scholarship each year. So it really is making a massive impact on providing, you know, young people who are hardworking and have financial need with a pathway to improve their lives.
You know, this event was in Chicago for many years. It's kind of interesting that this championship, it's now rare in that it moves around to different venues each year. Is that important, I guess, just for awareness?
It is. It is important for awareness. The Evans Scholarship originated out of Chicago, and its deepest roots are, of course, there. But the BMW Championship has begun to move around recently, right? It's been in Denver. I believe it's been in St. Louis this year. It is at Caves Valley in Baltimore. And, you know, the movement of that event, you know, also parallels the growth of the Evans Scholarship. Again, it started, you know, in Chicago, but it's grown, you know, from the original Big Ten schools to well beyond those schools. It's now at the University of Maryland. We're beginning now at the University of South Carolina. It also extends as far west as Washington and Oregon. So you're definitely going to see that event move around. And you're also going to see the growth of the Evans Scholarship around the country. I think this is a really great scholarship because it's, you know, the more people learn about it, the more they appreciate it and respect it and want to support it.
Well, this is such a great event, and for parents out there to take note of what's available with the Evans Scholar Foundation. Joe, real quick, back to Scioto. We spoke with your pro, Joe Filardo, a couple of weeks ago. How excited is the membership there about hosting next year's U.S. Senior Open?
There's a tremendous amount of excitement around that event. We were fortunate enough to host that event in 2016, and we're even more excited to host it next year. You know, Skip, it's no secret that next year is a special year for that event because there's a person named Tiger Woods who will be eligible to participate. Tiger obviously has an amazing record of accomplishment. We're super hopeful that Tiger will compete in that event. I know that USGA events are important to him. And to have that be his first eligible senior championship really is going to put a great stamp on that event for us. So we're very excited about that event and can't wait to host a spectacular field, and hopefully that includes Tiger Woods.
You know, I always love to talk course design. How would you describe, you know, the latest restoration there at Scioto with, you know, the goal of getting back to the original Ross design?
You know, it's funny, Skip. I had the opportunity to host some folks yesterday at Scioto who had played under the previous design, and you know they were immediately thrilled by the experience, because the golf course, it's the same routing, but as many of the original Donald Ross features have been reinstated, and it's dramatically different than it was before. I think it's equally hard, but it is significantly more fun. There's just a lot more opportunities to hit different kinds of shots as you approach the greens. I had the fortune of walking around the golf course with some members of the USGA leadership shortly after the golf course reopened, and it was neat to see these men who were responsible for running all of the USGA championships and see their reactions to the ways in which the golf course had changed and improved. And they were super excited to see all the different shot varieties that now exist at Scioto. And I think that's going to be the same reaction that the spectacular field at the U.S. Senior Open will have next year.
Looking forward to that. Again, back to the gist of this week, Joe. I know it's a big win for your organization. If people have any questions, if parents listening have any questions, they have high school kids that want more information on the Evans Scholars Foundation, best place to go get more information before they call the golf clubs?
Yeah, the best place to get more information is, of course, the website. The site is WGAESF.org. WGAESF.org. Lots of great information there on that website. Also ways that you can inquire from the Western Golf Association through the website to get more information.
Joe Murray, State Chair for Ohio of the Western Golf Association and Evans Scholars Foundation. Joe, we know this is a busy week for you and your organization. Thank you for what you do. Go raise a lot of money this weekend, okay?
Kip, thanks for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
All right, let's check your leaderboards now at the BMW as well as the other tours as we get you warmed up with some chip shots.
97.1 The Fan's Tita Green Chip Shots, presented by BMI Federal Credit Union.
Caves Valley Golf Club, the site of this week's BMW second leg of the PGA Tour playoffs. Robert McIntyre, 62-64 the first 2 days to get it to 14 under par and a 5-shot lead. Bobby Mack saying the putter and wedges have really been working.
Yes, Kip.
I've played beautifully the last 2 days. Yesterday, the putter was on fire. Today, I feel like my iron play was exceptional. But I've been putting in the work the last couple of weeks to make it, to improve on what I was doing the last since the Wyndham. Obviously, coming from Lynx Golf back out to throwing darts is a bit different, technique-wise, turf-wise. So it took a little bit of readjusting, but we've got the hang of it.
Five back of McIntyre, and alone in second is Scottie Scheffler, a bogey-free 65 Friday for Scheffler, who knew he would need to play well to stay in it.
I mean, I would have liked to have gotten a couple better looks down the stretch, but didn't hit as many fairways last few holes. And out here with the way the holes are shaped, you got to be in play. And typically around a normal tournament, the earlier you go in the day, the easier it's going to be. Yesterday with the course playing firm, and then all of a sudden we get to our 15th hole, and you know a big rainstorm comes in and softens the whole thing up. You knew for the guys in the afternoon it was going to play a bit easier, and so I knew kind of going into today that I was going to be fighting a little bit of an uphill battle, and. You know, did a good job of kind of hanging in there and staying in the tournament.
Alone in third at -8 is Ludvig Åberg, 64 on Friday for Åberg, who knows keeping it in the fairway at Caves Valley is a premium.
Yeah, it was nice. Obviously, it becomes a lot easier when you hit the fairways, which I did on the back nine, except for number 12. And the greens are still, you know, fairly receptive from the rain we got yesterday. So it can be quite aggressive coming into some of these greens. But overall, pleased with the way I played. Pleased with the way I was sort of controlling the ball flights, which was really nice to see. And it was nice to roll in a few putts on the back nine as well.
Again, all chasing Robert McIntyre at 14 under par. McIntyre leads by 5, top 30, and the points advance to the Tour Championship coming up next week. Elsewhere, Korn Ferry Tour is in Boise. Philip Knowles, -13, leads by 1. Former Buckeye Neil Shipley, who we'll hear from later, 3 back at -10. Shipley tied for 5th. Champions Tour is in Calgary. Stephen Alker and Miguel Angel Jimenez are at -7. They lead by 1. World Tour in Denmark. Marco Penge and Rasmus Højgaard -12. They are your co-leaders. They lead by three. LPGA in Portland, John Gwynn Lee, minus 12. She's your leader there by one. And we're down to the semifinals of the U.S. Amateur out west at Olympic Club. Your leaderboards are brought to you by BMI Federal Credit Union. Visit them today at BMIFCU.org. Coming up, is U.S. Ryder Cup captain Keegan Bradley in a no-win situation if he picks himself or not if the U.S. doesn't win next month at Bethpage? We'll talk about that and more with SI.com's Bob Herrig as Tee to Green continues here on The Fan.
Tweet from a listener. Are you carrying the Buckeye game today? Considering we've never not carried one, yes. The answer is yes. The Fan. Now eligible for the senior tees. You're listening to Tee to Green with Skip Mossick. The Fan. Ohio sports destination.
And welcome back, everybody. As always, thank you for tuning in. We have another great golf prize package to give away this week. We have golf for you to go play out at the Virtues, a gift card to check out the Fairway Columbus on Henderson Road in Upper Arlington. New location opening soon in Lewis Center. We'll tell you about that coming up in just a bit. Balls from our friends at Titleist. Plenty of fan goodies we're throwing there for you this week as well. So stay tuned. We'll have details on this week's giveaway shortly and your chance to make this great golf prize package yours.
This is Backspin. Tee to Green. Backspin.
As we head back to this week's tour stop in Maryland, joined for a few minutes by longtime golf writer from SI.com, Bob Herrig. And Bob, second leg of the PGA Tour playoffs with the BMW. After all these years, are you a fan of what the tour has tried to do with these playoffs, specifically going into next week's tour championship?
I'm a fan of what they've tried to do. I'm not necessarily a fan of what they've done or what they are doing. I mean, I think there's a difference. I mean, doing this, it was smart, you know, 20 years ago, plus before they started doing this, the tour season just kind of, you know, it just sort of limped along after the PGA Championship. There was no purpose to it. There was a bunch of tournaments for a couple of months. And it concluded with a kind of a sleepy tour championship in early November that guys like Tiger and Phil started skipping. You know, it wasn't important enough. You know, it just didn't matter that much. You know, you could win the money title without being at the tour championship, which was, you know, maybe the reason you'd want to do it. But, you know, and so they came up with this concept of these playoff events, which is great. I mean, it's brought all these guys together at the end of the year. For the most part, you know, we've had we have really good fields and good tournaments. But of course, the idea of playoffs in golf and not people really not being eliminated, and that kind of hangs over it. And either you have to call it something else, or you've got to, you know, come up with a system that creates a little bit of risk from playoff event to playoff event, and I think that would make it a little bit more compelling. You know, this week there's not a whole lot on the line,
right,
for guys. But yet, by the same token, you know, it's a good tournament, and somebody's going to win a tournament and get a nice trophy, and then a handful of guys who weren't sure are going to get in the tour championship next week, which of course is prestigious in its own right. So I just think they could improve it. And you know, I wish they would take a real hard look at it, because they are in a transition right now. They got rid of that starting strokes thing at the tour championship, which I think was smart. You know, I was willing to give that a go. It just didn't work. I mean, I think we talked about it too much. There was too much negativity. So they've changed it, and that's good this year. Next week, it's a regular tournament, and there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is that there's really, you know, you could have had 10, 15 guys who didn't play in either of the first two playoff events and would have got to Atlanta. And I'm not sure that's that's the right way to do it.
SI.com's Bob Herrig joins us this morning, tee to green here on The Fan. And Bob, one of the bigger stories throughout the summer continues to center around Ryder Cup captain Keegan Bradley and if he'll be selecting himself to the team. You know, it's almost like he's in a no-win situation to be second-guessed no matter what he does if the U.S. doesn't win. But it was interesting to hear some of the players this week when asked about if they would pick him if they were captain. Almost all said yes. I mean, what do you think he either will or should? Do.
Yeah, this is really tough because the problem is you almost wish that it was easy for him to not pick himself, that there were so many good options that, you know, he could just sit out. But if he's one of the 12 best, do you not have him play? You know, over what I think most of us feel is something that has been hyped into a task much more, maybe much more difficult than it is. I say it this way, there is a good chance, a very, very good chance that, Keegan and his assistant captains already know the majority of the first day lineup. You know, they've been thinking about this for months. They've been thinking about pairings and analytics and who plays well together. And, you know, maybe obviously there's 8 matches the first day. They might not have them all because they don't know exactly who's all going to be on the team, but they might have 6 of the 8. Like, beyond that, what else does he have to do? You know, I mean, yeah, he's got to give an opening ceremony speech and he's got to talk to the team. And they've got to be prepared to be a little bit nimble if something goes wrong, if somebody's not playing very well, which is why you have assistants. I mean, Jim Furyk is his lead assistant, really. And Furyk was just the President's Cup captain last year. He knows at least half the team, or more. You know, he was also a Ryder Cup captain, before. He's been an assistant captain for both numerous times. I don't think this is, you know, This isn't, you know, Bill Belichick or, you know, somebody calling plays on the sideline.
Right.
It's just not, you know. So when you look at it that way, to me, it's like I think we make too much out of it. I mean, Rory was saying that the other day, oh, there's too much stuff going on. But I think Rory made too much out of it. You know, the first day, most times, the captains have a lineup for the entire day decided in advance. You know, they've got their first morning session, and then they know what they're going to do in the afternoon. They're not waiting to see. Not very often do they deviate from that. So if Keegan is playing in either session, why is that a problem? You know, Scotty Scheffler doesn't need Keegan to hold his hand while he's playing out there. You know, I know that a captain can give advice. Well, obviously they're going to let somebody else give advice. Jim Furyk can stand out there and tell him what everybody else has been hitting on a par three, you know. So I'm one who's always felt that too much is made of all that, but the fact is there is a lot, and if it's too overwhelming for him, then he probably shouldn't play, you know. So and I keep going back to if you look at the points. Leaders, obviously it's going to be decided Sunday who the top 6 are. And then 7 and 8 are Justin Thomas and Morikawa, who I'm pretty confident are going to be on the team, even though Morikawa is not having a great year and he's not having a great tournament. But if you go with that, you've got 4 more spots, but you've got 8 or 9 guys in line for them. And I'm sitting here telling you, I can't tell you, you absolutely have to have any one of them.
Sure.
So, and Keegan's in that mix. So, that's the dilemma. I think behind the scenes, they've been thinking about who works with who. And, you know, like Cantlay's a guy who's been off this year. Cantlay's never lost in singles in the President's Cup or the Ryder Cup. He was pretty good for the U.S. 2 years ago when the U.S. was overall pretty bad. You know, he was 3-1 at the President's Cup. He's had a winning record in every cup competition he's played in, except the Ryder Cup 2 years ago when he was 2-2. So, you know, are you going to, and again, it's 6 weeks away. Like, form is fleeting. Like, to base anything on how somebody's playing right now is really tough. Because there's no guarantee they're going to be good then or bad, either way.
Well, Bob, last thing. We always like to get you on this week with the BMW Championship, which benefits the Evans Scholar Foundation. You're a former Evans Scholar yourself, Bob. Let everybody know the benefits of this scholarship that many still don't know a lot about that can really be life-changing for high school kids and their families if they're fortunate enough to earn it.
Yeah, no, it's a great program. Obviously, I'm biased. I was an Evans Scholar back in the day, and you know, this tournament is one of their big fundraisers. It makes many millions for the foundation, which, of course, when they're trying to put roughly 1,000 kids through college every year, you can imagine the expense, you know. For me, it was life-changing, obviously. I don't know how things would have been different. I was still going to go to college. But, you know, not having to pay for tuition for 4 years set me on a better path. It certainly helped out my parents. And, yeah, I made lifelong friends. I was exposed to golf even more. I caddied for 10 years at a local country club where I grew up and made a lot of relationships through that I still have today. So, you know, it's an amazing program, and they've done a great job of growing it, weathering a lot of financial tough times, through some bad economies, raising money, and actually growing the program. I mean, they own chapter houses at, I want to say now, it was 14 back when I was in school, but now it's around 20.
Right.
You know, I mean, and you know, a house, you know, imagine the expense. They own them, millions of dollars in property that they own, and then tuition, and it's just an impressive program that they've put together, and leadership that's managed to raise that kind of money. You know, it's, I encourage anyone, especially, you know, in the Midwest, it's a very, very big program. Caddy programs are still thriving despite the fact that, you know, the golf cart is such a revenue producer for clubs. You know, the clubs that still have caddies, you know, you really got to hand it to them for recognizing a bigger picture.
Bob Herrig, again, thank you so much for joining us throughout the spring and summer months. We always appreciate your time and your insight. We'll keep following you at SI.com. Safe travels, okay?
Thanks so much. Appreciate you having me.
All right, let's go ahead and give away this week's golf prize package. Caller 9 right now, 614-821-9710, 614-821-9710. If you or any member of your household have not won in the past 60 days, caller 9 will get golf at the Virtues, balls from Titleist, a gift card to the Fairway Columbus, fan goodies, and more. Caller 9, if you or any member of your household have not won in the past 60 days. Coming up, speaking of the Fairway Columbus, they're about ready to open a brand new location up in Lewis Center. We'll tell you about that with Scott Stender of the Fairway next as Tee to Green continues here on The Fan.
Want to know anything about the fans' contests, how to win, or what's up for grabs? Check out 971thefan.com. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
It's not even 10 in the morning, and you're already trying to flag down the beverage cart. Don't worry, we've all been there. This is Tee to Green with Skip Mossick on The Fan.
Welcome back, everybody. As always, thanks for tuning in. Hard to believe this is our second to last show of the season. Our final one will be next week at the OSU Scarlet Course, the home and the site of this year's Nationwide Children's Championship, part of the Corn Ferry Tour playoff event. If you missed any part of today's show, simply download the Tee to Green podcast. Just search Tee to Green wherever you find your podcasts and be sure to hit subscribe. Final couple of moments of this week's show, the PGA Tour of officially announced this week that former Buckeye Neil Shipley has secured his PGA Tour card for next season. Shipley playing great again this week, 3 back of the lead in Boise, and even though he's set for 2026, Shipley's expected to play here at Scarlet next month at the Corn Ferry Playoffs Nationwide Children's Championship. Shipley saying earlier this week that for him, playing that event here at Scarlet would give him a big leg up on everyone else.
It's a huge advantage, especially when it'll be the second week of 2 weeks for us.
And you know, it's the end of a really long season. You know, everyone will probably be, you know, a little low in energy. But you know, a lot of guys will be super stressed out about trying to learn the golf course, getting out there, making sure they play 18 holes before the pro am and all that. And I'll be nice. I'll probably be able to take Monday off, cause I know the golf course, and just kind of have a stress free week in preparation from that Monday through Wednesday. Another thing too, I've seen Scarlett in all types of conditions. So, you know, if the golf course goes from really firm to really soft throughout the week, I know how the course is going to play through those conditions. Or if it goes the other way where we start soft and get really firm come Sunday, you know, I'm going to be aware of, you know, how some of these tee shots react, and how, you know, which is, it's really important out there. I think there's a few holes that kind of dogleg, and they get a little crazy sometimes. And, I've kind of seen it all out here. So, and, I also just know where JL is, and I'm just not going to hit it there.
Some of us can't help but hitting it there. So cool to see Shipley's success continuing. Again, we'll be at Scarlett next week to talk more about next month's tournament. That'll put a wrap on this week's show. Fan Sports Saturday with Reeser and Dane comes your way next. Buckeye replay at 1, Ohio State and Texas in the Cotton Bowl from January. Jack Sawyer's scoop and score. Reds Brewers later tonight from Cincinnati. For Nate Puderbaugh, I'm Skip Mossick. As always, thank you for listening. Enjoy the golf this weekend and join us next Saturday for our season finale of Tee to Green right here on The Fan.
Church next Sunday to save me from those double bogey blues.
Buckeye games have been airing on WBNS since before you were born and before your parents were born.
And before Abraham Lincoln was born, trust me.
Your home of the Buckeyes, broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars, Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNS-FM, HD1 Columbus.
The Fan. Sports Center.
And I'm Nate Puderbaugh. The Cleveland Browns return to action today for their second preseason game. They're in Philadelphia to take on the Eagles this afternoon at 1. Dylan Gabriel is expected to make his Browns debut, with Shedeur Sanders also expected to see playing time. The Reds blew an 8-1 lead last night, losing to the Brewers 10-8. The Brewers tied a franchise record with their 13th consecutive win. Game 2 of their series is tonight at 6:40. Christian Yelich of the Brewers taking on Zach Littell. Catch the action tonight on The Fan. And the Cleveland Guardians look to bounce back after getting blanked by the Braves last night, 2-0. Hurston Waldrop threw 6 scoreless innings for the Braves in the win. They'll square off again tonight at 7:10 with Joey Wentz taking on the Guardians' Slade Ciccone. And Columbus Crew SC return to action tonight at Lower.com Field. They'll take on Toronto FC at 7:30. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio Sports Destination.